This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Scott Peterson, and he's given us a remarkable series of photos of the terrible tragedy in Reno over the weekend. Scott, you were there. Why were you there, and why don't you just walk us through what you saw?
Well, kind of quickly, four friends all decided to go up very last minute, and we could only go up on Friday. And had another friend that, or actually had a couple other friends that were up there that we were going to see, and so it was just going to be another fun day at the air races. We had gone before and really enjoyed it, and look forward to our first time walking through the pits. And so we spent considerable amount of time down there and watched, you know, some of the other races go on. But we wanted to make sure that we were in our seats for the final unlimited. And so we left our one of our friends who had a display down in the pit area, and the other friend was in the box seats, and he actually had a couple of tickets available, but we had already purchased some, so we had headed over to our seats, and we were kind of right in the front, nothing between us and the ramp, and watched a couple other races go by, and then it was time for the unlimited, and we were really excited. And one of our pilot friends brought his son with him too. It was his first time seeing the Reno Air races, and so we were really enjoying this. And on the third lap, we're watching everybody, come by at just amazing speeds. And Galloping Ghost comes around the corner, and very quickly we could see, something was unusual. And
what was unusual? Like what could you see that was unusual as he came?
Well, he headed toward the crowd. And they don't do that, I mean, there's probably a moment where, it's sort of facing the crowd when they come around that last pylon, but that's way out there. And very quickly, he turns right toward the crowd, and he's at a very low altitude. And I'm sure, everybody in the stadium is thinking, oh, I hope he pulls up. Otherwise he continues his trajectory. We're all getting hit. And so we hear the announcer call that there's a mayday, and very shortly after that, the plane pulled up. And if you're familiar with what goes on at Reno, I think there were probably four maydays that day, and I wouldn't say it's a gentle climb up, but it's a very calculated climb up where they trade speed for altitude, and then they land. And most of them have no problem making the runway. It's a little exciting, but you're used to watching the maydays, and you're used to watching them pull up. And this pull up was very violent. I know it's a strange word to use for a pull up, but that's kind of how everybody was describing it. It was very severe, and he seemed to shoot up vertical. It looked nothing like any of the other maydays that we had seen, and we knew that there was something, wrong.
And okay, well, at some point, you grabbed the camera.
Well, I had the camera because I was taking pictures of all of the planes coming around. In fact, we even had a video camera on, but by the second lap, I throw stuff on Facebook for friends and let them listen to the engine noises and things. And by the second lap, they were they were more spread out. And so the son of our, this friend that was, with us, he said, "Should I keep filming?" And I said, "Nah, don't bother." And I wish, I wouldn't have said that. I wish I would have had him film the whole race, because we had a pretty good vantage point of everything that went on. But yeah, I've got a pretty nice camera. I've got a 100-400 lens on it, and so I had it extended all the way out, and I'm clicking pictures. And so when I heard the mayday, I thought, well, I'll follow the plane, and So I'm, you know, somewhat looking through the lens and, you know, kind of putting the camera down every once in a while and, you know, seeing the plane coming, you know, making the turn toward the grandstands and thinking, you know, this just isn't right. And I didn't get any pictures of that, but I got the pictures right after he snapped and shot, you know, straight up. I thought, this is very unusual. I don't know. You know what, you know, whether he did that on purpose or if there's something broken, he just, you know, up he went like a rocket. And he didn't go very high. And, you know, we all kept waiting for him to, you know, to go high, but now he's right over the crowd. And there was this very strange wobble to the plane, you know, from the nose to the tail, right along the, you know, the long axis of the plane, and it did that three or four times, and then we knew something was very serious. Also saw that the tail wheel had popped out of this thing, and you know, we're amateurs, but we know a little bit about it, and thought, why is he putting the tail wheel, you know, or why is the tail wheel out? Because you could clearly see it. So then he comes up, he rolls over, and very quickly, you know, somebody behind us said, "Oh, I think he stalled." And I'm thinking, he's going way too fast to stall. And it came over and it pointed at us again. And again, I'm sure it's a similar experience with everybody in the grandstands, how at some point in time, that plane was pointed right at you once or twice. You know, and you just freeze. You don't know, do you run? You know, and if you run, are you going to run into it? You're going to run away from it, and there's so many people around you. You know, you'd be pushing people over, and it's just a, you know, you don't know what to do, so you just freeze. And so, you know, it pointed away from us again and headed straight down into the crowd, right where our other friend with box seats was sitting. And it hit, you know, at a very high rate of speed. Huge explosion. We waited for the fireball, and the fireball never happened.
How's your friend?
Well, we didn't know. And so, you know, I'm standing there. I'm clicking pictures of this, you know, trying to click them off as fast as I can, thinking that maybe these pictures are going to, you know, be of help to figure out what you know, happened later. And so I'm just clicking these things, and as I'm clicking them, all of a sudden I'm realizing there's part of a propeller coming at us very quickly. And I keep clicking on it, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm not a reporter. I don't need to be doing this. And so I put the camera down for a moment, and I'm watching this thing bounce repeatedly. And you can see that in these photos too, where it hits the dirt and just barely misses some of these people, and you know, it finally stops, you know, probably, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 feet away from us. And I'm thinking, you know, and I'm looking around and seeing all the other heavier pieces, because this thing was just obliterated. It was just, you know, small shreds everywhere, except for these heavier pieces that made it out as far as us, and we were probably about 300 feet away from where the impact was. And then there was this amazing silence. You'd expect a crowd to just be in mayhem, and everything just went silent. It was like a vacuum. And then just a few seconds later, then the screams and all that started up. And then very, very quickly, you know, the emergency, you know, teams and the first responders were there. The announcers were saying, you know, to everybody, stay where you are, because I don't think they wanted, you know, any exits anywhere getting clogged up with people running away. They wanted to get the emergency personnel in first. And, you know, they responded very quickly, and they were asking us to leave, and there were a bunch of people shouting, you know, don't leave, because they didn't want the roads clogged, because we knew there weren't going to be enough ambulances. We knew that at least the injuries were going to be very, very high. And so there was a lot of people, I think much to the frustration of the announcer, that we just didn't leave because we didn't want to mess up, you know, the roads or any of the, you know, any of the way in, you know, for these emergency responders.
All right. So did you find your friend in the front row? Was he okay?
We climbed to the top of the bleachers, and I put, you know, I had my long lens on, and I'm searching for him everywhere, and I can't find him, and it's, you know, we're starting to get very, very concerned, and the phone lines got jammed up right away. So finally, about 20 minutes after, I got a hold of him, and all I heard was, "I'm okay," and that was it. And I thought, okay, well, he's all right, but I don't know if he's in an ambulance. I don't, you know. So eventually, a couple hours later, we roamed around the campground and found him. He was very close to it, five rows away from it, and he got pelted with shrapnel and AV gas and coolant, and you know, just felt the full blast of it. And then you can actually see him in the videos that you can see online. You know, you can see him right there.
Wow.
So. Yeah, and then our other friend, who was a little more down in the pits, he wasn't quite sure where we were, but from where he was standing, he thought we had gotten it, and so he left where he was at and ran right through the middle of the scene, right after it happened, right past the crater, you know, looking for us, and because, you know, we were answering our phone because the phone lines were jammed, and so we finally connected with him about 10 minutes after. And then we also knew that we needed to get word to our families, and we couldn't text out, we couldn't call out, and I thought, well, maybe Facebook. And so I just sent a very quick message saying there was a crash, but we're all okay. And I think that's how my family and our other friends first found out about it.
So what about the aftermath? Did you help out? Were you right down there?
No, we didn't. They kept telling everybody, stay away, stay away, stay away. And so we were in a very good position to run out there and do something, but immediately the announcer is doing that, and, you know, all I've got is first aid training. You know, I'm, you know, not anything other than what you'd get at a workplace. And there were so many people out there. And the vehicles were just pouring in, and we felt like if we were going to run out there, we'd probably get hit by a vehicle. There were just so many. But, you know, they're out there. People are wandering around very confused. They very quickly set up a triage area, which was just kind of right outside the debris field. They were certainly helping some of the people that were, you know, right near the impact crater. It was a very macabre scene. There was, I don't know, I would call, just, we'll just say there was stuff everywhere. People screaming. You know, just it's a scene that, you know, so many of us got burned in our minds that we just, you know, wish, you know, we had never, you know, you'd never expect, you know, something like this. I mean, it just disintegrated.
Well, we appreciate your time and your willingness to share your experience with us today, Scott. It's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.